It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Way to go, man. Way to go. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
Kevin is not here. He bailed on us at the last possible second, but we do have possibly a new replacement for Kevin. Who knows? Quack Question of the Year winner. It's 2022, first episode of the year. We have the Quack Question of the Year winner. Mike is here, a.k.a. Cats Fan in Ohio. Mike, thanks for being here. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you guys so very much. I really appreciate it.
So Mike's question was about the Trinidad and Tobago coach, whether he was underrated, overrated, that kind of stuff. We'll get into that. But Mike won with 49% of the vote and hotly contested. He was up big, actually. You were up pretty big early on. And in the last few days, people sort of chipped away at your lead, but you hung on. Second place, Matthew B, who asked who would win a one-game playoff, District 5 or the Don't Bothers. We asked that to Matt Doherty. But we did have a lot of feedback on the Quack questions, including from Steve Brill himself. Steve said that the questions are amazing. And he said, the questions are amazing. I feel like I should have answered them. And then we had one question about the former Ducks coach who had the heart attack, and Steve gave us an answer for that. So that question came from Danny, aka DRisner12, who asked what happened to the original coach. He said the original, this is from Steve Brill, the original coach of the Ducks had who had the heart attack was named J.Y. Nash, and he was a hard-ass guy who actually worked for Riley as an assistant and thought he was a genius who should have his own team. He was overweight and had hypertension. He recovered. But when he watched the Ducks win the Goodwill Games, he had a massive stroke. He's currently living in Stillwater, Minnesota, and has survived COVID twice. And we also had a question about, you know, should Don Tibbles have sued the Junior Goodwill Games for concussions and that kind of stuff, class action lawsuit. Steve says Tibbles should have sued, but the concussion actually made him foggy and he forgot to file. So,
wow,
solid answers.
Let's go back to the original coach. What was his name again?
J.Y. Nash.
So J, like, and then his middle name is Y?
I think it's like, you know, J.T. or like...
oh, those are his initials, J.Y.
Yeah,
Nash.
Yeah, J.Y.
That's not one you hear very often.
Yeah.
Man, and he was a Hawks assistant, went to go do his own thing with District 5 and didn't realize what he was getting into, almost killed him.
Yeah. Flamed out. I feel like there could be an episode there, but
it's got to be a Don't Bother storyline as well. Like nowadays, you know, if they're still looking for coach replacements, is he going to be the first one and he has another heart attack in episode one?
He's still kicking.
That's true. He has survived COVID twice and he's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking at some point he really should have gotten his shots or his boosters, you know.
Yeah, you'd think he would.
Tempted fate a couple of times.
Yeah, but if I guess Bombay's not going to do it, then why should this guy? Which
True.
Is, of course, a terrible mindset to have. He should get his shot and boosters.
True. I did think it was interesting that he did not answer Mike's question because he has talked in other interviews about wanting to go to Europe, having an international competition. So I'm holding out hope that he's got something Trinidad and Tobago lined up for Game Changer season two. But let's get to Mike and his question. First of all, I like to hear the origin stories. Like, how were you introduced to the Mighty Ducks and how did you come to sort of love, you know, the trilogy and into Game Changers and everything?
Yeah. So a little bit of my background, you know, originally from Kentucky, which is why, you know, my my kind of screen name is Cats Fan in Ohio, because I do live up in Ohio now, but went to the University of Kentucky. And so hockey is not a super popular sport back home. I think there's only like 4 ice rinks in the whole state. Growing up, you know, I was always really into sports, always really loved sports movies. Any kind of sports movie I would watch, me and my dad really got into them. And, you know, one day, you know, my dad decided, hey, there's this new kids sports movie out. It's about hockey. I had no idea what hockey was. And so we went and we watched it, and I fell in love with it, because it was such a, it was such a foreign sport to me. It was like watching the Olympics. You know, I love watching those because you got all these sports you don't normally see on TV, and that's exactly what it was. And you know, there were kids a lot like me just running around getting into all kinds of trouble, and just fell in love with it from there, and watched all the sequels, and then of course Game Changers.
Real quick sidebar, how do you feel about the movie Glory Road, since I guess you could say Kentucky are like the bad guys in it, if you will?
I really like that movie. It's a very good movie. I actually know one of the guys that played on Kentucky's team. He was a backup. He didn't actually get in the game, but I know him. And you know, and so talking with him, you know, about what that game was like, you know, and having watched it, I think they did a really good job with it. And you know, a lot of Kentucky fans, we kind of joke, because the semifinal game, you had Kentucky and you had Duke, who's, you know, of course our big arch rival. Both of them were, you know, all white teams, and we just happened to win that, and we ended up looking bad, you know, for the rest of history as a result. So we won that one. But no, I think they did a really good job, and it was for the University of Kentucky, they ended up kind of helping to integrate it, because the very next year, they actually integrated the football team, and that they were the first ones in the SEC to integrate any athletic program. So, and that was partially because of that season. So I actually really like it.
Well, fantastic. And yeah. For those who aren't aware, it's the story of Texas Western, now UTEP, winning the men's national championship with a all-black starting five, first time that was done. Any sports movies that you think we need to be talking about more on this podcast, other than the Mighty Ducks, of course?
Interesting question.
I don't know. Come back to me on that one.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll revisit it.
Come back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's go. I did like that bit of Kentucky history there. I enjoyed that. But let's go back to the Mighty Ducks here. So were you seeing these in theaters with your dad? Were you a VHS guy?
The first one, I believe, was VHS, because I think my dad taped it off TV, kind of a pirated copy.
Nice. Oh, yeah. We went that route.
But I believe the second and third one, if I remember correctly, we saw in the theaters. And, you know, I'm a huge Olympics fan, as I kind of alluded to earlier. So the second movie, I know you guys always talk about which ones are, you know, the ranking of the order. Number 2 is my favorite, just because of that. You know, because it's similar with the Olympic style format, you know, different countries, all that kind of style. So I just always fell in love with it from there.
Yeah. Let's get your ranking. Let's get the full ranking. So number 2 is number 1.
Number 2, then number 1, then number 3. I know it's you know, some people have really like number 3. And it's gotten better as I've gotten older, because I certainly see, you know, them growing up. But as a kid, I just couldn't understand. It's like, they go from winning the Junior Goodwill Games, the gold medal, to now they're the JV team at a local high school, prep school. That's like, if it had gone the other way, if they'd done 3 then 2, it probably would have been different. Just the formatting of like where the teams were.
Oh, that would be interesting. In like an alternate universe.
Yeah.
It would have been, if there was a D4, or maybe if they'd waited D3 for like 4 years, like, hey, get them in college, then you get the R-rated version that we all wanted. And we're all talking about how that's the best one.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. So mentioned Mike's question was about the Trinidad Tobago coach. Was he underrated? To recap our answer, it was essentially, you know, we don't really know, but it sort of hinged on whether Belafonte was a, you know, generational player that carried Trinidad and Tobago, or this coach actually developed Belafonte and was developing Trinidad and Tobago into some sort of Caribbean hockey power. What did you just sort of think of our answer? And do you have anything to sort of either argue against or add to that answer?
When I initially heard it, I kind of disagreed, but it's open to interpretation. Of course, that's what makes this completely fun. The reason why it kind of came to me is, you know, in my mind, like I alluded to, being from Kentucky, hockey's not a big thing. And so, you know, the Caribbean, I can't imagine too many of these guys grew up really playing a whole lot. So even if they were athletic, you know, whatever, I'm not sure what sports are big in Trinidad, but I was like, they had to have had some decent coaching, you know, to be able to score even two goals against the gold medal winners. You know, clearly Belafonte is a stud. You know, had some great moves, as they said in the movie, but there had to be something behind the bench.
So you're saying, you know, one hockey arena in the entire country, this guy is rounding up other athletes and actually teaching them.
Yeah, cool running style, you know. He's like John Candy.
Okay.
Exactly. I think there's definitely like a parallel there. And real quick, according to Trinidad, ttconnect.gov, .tt, there's an abundance of sporting talent, which is demonstrated by the achievements of our sportsmen and women in various activities locally and internationally. Cricket stands out as one of the most popular local sports, which is not surprising. But they also mention, interestingly enough, powerboat racing. In a lot of water sports, and the Great Race has been held every year since August 1st, 1969. I'm not familiar with it, but I think we're going to come up with a screenplay for it. other sport activities: hockey, swimming, squash, volleyball, cycling, rugby, badminton, gymnastics, rifle shooting, boxing, and bodybuilding. And of course, I didn't mention this, but soccer. I'm going to look up Trinidad's Olympic history and let Mike keep going, but I'll let you guys know that in a minute.
Probably yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess my only sort of counter argument would be, you know, like in the Olympics, the Chinese team, they sort of get Canadian guys who have Chinese heritage who sort of join their team and to play like on the hockey team. Like, do we think Belafonte was part of that? Are you thinking the coach developed all these guys homegrown?
I guess in my mind, I always envisioned homegrown. I never thought about importing, you know, people from Canada that, you know, maybe they had roots. But yeah, I know what you're talking about with countries doing stuff like that in the Olympics. That didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Good theory.
I think Belafonte is from a different country and his parents, you know, moved to Trinidad and Tobago at a later part of life. But I would give, you know, just because he seems like such a on par with the U.S. where
I thought you were meaning like he was born in Trinidad and like maybe his dad got a job like in Toronto and when he was like a baby and he grew up playing in Canada and they were like, oh hey, you've got this this heritage,
yeah,
you can come back and play for us now.
It's possible. I just don't know how far the junior Goodwill Games Trinidad and Tobago team is willing to go. So
I don't know. Like youth soccer teams, like the U17, U15, U13, like world, well, maybe not U13, but U15, like World Cup. It's like, you know, like I'm eligible to play for a couple of European countries and you bet your ass I would have done that like when I was 13.
Uh-huh.
But real quick, Trinidad's Olympic success. It's had some 3 gold medals, all coming in men's track and field. The most recent, Kishorn Walcott and the men's javelin throw 2012 London. So duck call to him. Let's see if they can do something in 2024 in Paris or maybe upcoming in Beijing. I don't know if Trinidad and Tobago has a hockey team. Actually, I know they don't because I just looked it up, but maybe we'll get some something for the next cycle here, maybe within the next 12 years. Maybe Game Changers can get some more Trinidad references and really kind of get a nice growing in Trinidad.
Yeah, but it's an interesting question. Like, is Belafonte like a Canadian who comes and plays for Trinidad and Tobago, or is he like a Canadian who lives in Trinidad and Tobago now, or is he just not? Is he a homegrown guy? I don't know if we have any evidence either way there, but
not clear.
think it would have been a good spinoff to have like McGill play for Team Ireland in D2.
Oh, yeah. That, and then he's like back in
the enforcer, and he's, I don't know, redemption tale, but we'll make sure Brill knows some of these ideas so he can write them into seasons 3 and 4.
Playing with like 30-year-old guys, you know, so clearly the rules are, you know, mendable.
Yeah. That's and good. I mean, Russ Tyler shows up like in the knockout round, basically. So
that's true. What was the name of the guy who won the gold medal again? Do you still have that up?
Kishorn Walcott in 2012, London.
Right. We'll give him a proper duck call. Duck call to Kishorn Walcott. Let's move on now. I think there's an interesting question I would want to hear from the Quacklites. Like, is Belafonte an import? Is he a ringer? Or are you giving all this credit to the Trinidad and Tobago coach? But if Game Changers goes the international route, does your opinion change, Mike, on whether if there's an international tournament in Game Changers and either Trinidad and Tobago is not there or Trinidad and Tobago is there, does that affect how you see that Trinidad and Tobago coach, or is it, has it just too much time passed where you don't know?
Yeah, I think too much time may have passed, but you know, I definitely think that if they're not there, then somebody, they got jobbed by somebody. You know, there was definitely some there was some funny business, and somebody got left out. You know, there was some underhandedness for sure.
Okay. Did you take any umbrage with our thought that maybe the just Trinidad and Tobago's qualifying group was very weak to get to the Junior Good World Games, and maybe this coach wasn't as, I guess you pointed out that they did score 2 goals against Team USA. That's sort of the one saving thing for them.
Yeah. Obviously we don't know too much of the background of like what it takes to get in, because, you know, Tibbles just shows up and says, hey, I need you to coach in this tournament. So somehow the United States qualified, you know, so I don't know. It'd be interesting if we had some more background on that whole qualifying process. You know, did they have to beat like Jamaica or somebody else to get in, or was it just, hey, whoever can, you know, get here in time?
Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit, but that is a good point that Team USA seems to have qualified somehow without a coach, or maybe they fired.
They're the host.
Automatic bid.
Good.
Interesting.
I feel like they're the host. Canada maybe gets like the North American bid, or like maybe they do it up based off of rankings. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Trinidad has to win some kind of play-in, and maybe they're paired against like, you know, teams from Asia and Africa as well, or something like that.
I like this.
Yeah. And I think I had sent one of you guys an email before about how the flags in the little speech don't line up with the countries that are actually in the tournament pairings.
Yes. There's a whole thing that I still need to investigate. You wrote a very long and very detailed email about these flags. I was trying to investigate at one point, and then it sort of fell off my radar, but we do need to look at that, because that's like a full episode that really plays into this year.
If you need me to come back, just feel free to invite me.
Perfect.
There are times I've got a lot of thinking time on my hands, and so my mind wanders.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move on. Quick question. Your bio, the Kentucky born and raised, stuck in Ohio.
Yeah.
I guess you told us a little off the air how you got stuck in Ohio, but how did you end up in Ohio, and do you think you'll ever, you know, escape?
So like you just mentioned, born and raised in Kentucky, but my wife and I, we met in college at the University of Kentucky. She's from Southwest Ohio, where I live now in the Dayton area. And after we got married, she decided she wanted to move home after her mother passed away. And so that brought us back up here about a year after we got married. I do anticipate at some point I'll get a chance to move, but just not anytime soon. I've got a good thing going on up here. I like to tease my wife and especially her family about being stuck here in Ohio, but it's not so bad.
You mentioned earlier, you know, you got kids. Are they going to Kentucky 100%?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. ironically, out-of-state tuition in Kentucky is cheaper than in-state tuition here in Ohio.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Have you introduced your kids to the Mighty Ducks? If so, what do they think of it?
I have. I introduced my oldest one. He's 7. I introduced him to the first one. He hasn't seen the second or third one yet. And he just thought, like, mostly all the hijinks and the pranks, he found that to be absolutely hilarious, just belly laughing, especially like the eggs. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Daddy, when can I do that with you?" And I was like, "Never."
Have you taken him out onto the ice? Have you given him proper hockey training?
No, we've taken him roller skating a couple of times. He's about as coordinated like Fulton when he first starts off. So, he's going to get there, though. He's going to get there.
Just a few roller skates through the mall and he'll be ready to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Has he gone into Game Changers at all? Have you shown him that to him?
He watched one episode and then he got bored and walked off. he's 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Attention spans are that, you know, like 5 minutes and then they're done.
Exactly. 5 hours of content is a lot for a 7-year-old.
It's a lot.
Last sort of personal question, I think. Mm-hmm. What did your wife say when you told her I'm going to be on a Mighty Ducks podcast?
She just kind of stared at me. She's like, and then she asked me, "You're going to do what?" And then she just went back upstairs and said she was going to watch TV.
She said, "We're never going back to Kentucky."
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. Do you?
No, she's watched them with me, and she watched Game Changers with me, and she liked them, but she doesn't understand listening to a podcast about it. She just doesn't get that part.
To be honest, that's fair. But I am curious. I'm always curious. Like, how did you find this podcast, and like what made you like tune into, you know, 200 plus episodes on the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah. I don't remember how exactly I found you guys. There was an article written, I think it was, I don't know, probably a couple of years ago, written about the Mighty Ducks. And from there, like, it kind of started me down the rabbit hole of, well, whatever happened to like those actors and things like that. And there was another article that I ended up reading that talked about your all's podcast. And from there, I looked you guys up and saw that at that point, there was probably like 100, 150 episodes. And I was just like, I found my people. they understand me and what my sense of humor. And just I started back at the beginning and just started listening to all of them. I travel quite a bit for work. So there's a lot of times when I'm on the planes, I was able to just like download a whole bunch of them and listen to them as I'm flying, and got caught up pretty quickly, actually.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate everybody who listens. But yeah, we appreciate you tuning in and sticking with us. It is time. It is time to pass the torch here. Mike, Cats fan in Ohio, 2021 Quack Question of the Year winner. It's going to help us answer the very first Quack Question of 2022. If you don't know by now, you ask us questions on Twitter, through Facebook, on the Discord, through email. We pick the best ones, try to answer them. This one comes from the Discord. This one comes from the True Elec on the Discord. He asks, which of the Eden Hall Ducks are still playing hockey when they graduate and which ones quit?
So like who quits in high school? Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, who quits in high school or you know, maybe doesn't move on to the future? And I mean, we could obviously go deep with this, but we can let's just run it through them pretty quickly. He obviously, you think Banks is playing somewhere in the future. Conway, I think he's hanging on to the dream at least. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody gives him a shot.
Yeah, I think so. He's good enough. He's got the pedigree. He's got like the not the legacy, but you know, it's like, oh, he's the, you know, the real Minnesota Miracle Man. He gets his chance somewhere. College takes a chance on him and he flames out. I don't know.
You figure Julie's still playing. We think Connie gets an opportunity in college somewhere. Does she stick through high school?
I think she definitely sticks through high school and maybe she goes like Ivy League. You know, she's in politics now.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of gets her, helps her get to the Ivy League, and maybe she plays there at least her freshman year, like on the women's team, and and at Brown or something. I don't know. I don't know if Brown has a women's ice hockey team.
Yeah, I believe they do. Right? Yeah, yeah, I believe they do. I like that. Mike, anybody stick out that's, you know, still playing that we haven't mentioned for, after Eden Hall?
I definitely think Russ. Russ has got that wild shot, and somebody's going to say, you know what, I need that. That's the thing we're missing. I need a trick shot. That's what's going to get us over the top, and they give him a shot.
I could definitely see that, and I could see Russ being like, all right, I'll do it. Like, not necessarily like invested in, you know, his hockey career, but as long as someone keeps asking him to play, he'll play.
Remember, I mean, his dad said he better stay in school or he's going to whip his butt. So somebody offers him a scholarship, he's going.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tommy, anybody you think quits and before they get out of Eden Hall?
I could see Luis quitting, you know, honestly, or getting like too caught up with girls, or, you know, God forbid, you know, getting a girl pregnant and he's got to like drop out and work. You know, if Kevin were here, he'd be like cheering about that. But I'm not sure he sticks with it. In another lifetime, he's, of course, a professional baseball player playing for the Dodgers in the Sandlot. So, yeah, he kind of sticks out to me as someone who might not stick with it, or maybe even, you know, maybe he gets homesick or something like that. Maybe Minnesota's too cold for him, wants to go back to Florida.
Yeah, I could see like the day-to-day grind if once he, you know, gets to varsity or whatever, sort of getting to him and he just, you know, wants to stop and gets burned out.
I think Portman is definitely ineligible at some point during high school, but he keeps playing in some capacity. He like goes to a juniors league or whatever. So yeah. I don't think he finishes out Eden Hall. I don't think he even graduates, and maybe they find out that he was like 26 all along.
Yeah. I do like
somebody,
that.
I think somebody like Averman, I think he definitely takes over as the broadcaster once Josh, once he you know, graduates and moves on. Averman decides, you know, I'm tired of getting all these shots to the head, and I can take my talents elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you figure Averman is low on the totem pole. He's like a third line, fourth liner. If he's on forward, maybe they move him to D or something, and he's unhappy, and he's like, I truly want to be a broadcaster or something. So
I still want to be involved, but I don't have to take, you know, shots to the head anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he knows they'll honor the scholarship too.
I like that. Some wild cards here. Any of the varsity, what happens to Riley, Cole? Do we think they both continue playing? Do they get opportunities somewhere?
I'm not sure Cole's grades are good enough to play in college.
Oh, that's a good point. You would figure Riley, the captain of, you know, 9-time state champion, he gets, even if it's like a D3
shot. He's
going to Penn
or something. Yeah. Like he'll get the Ivy League connection from his rich daddy.
But I see him, you know, doing something really stupid and getting kicked out after like a year or two. They're going to find out he's involved in something nefarious.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets arrested for, you know, distributing drugs or something like that. Some sort of misdemeanor, maybe it's a felony, who knows.
And it's probably a school that's already like under sanctions from the NCAA, you know, because they're willing to take him, you know, with all his baggage to begin with, and they got to cut him loose.
I think Scooter like kind of plays in the AHL, and he makes it close, like, you know, he's on a preseason roster somewhere in the NHL, and maybe he goes to Europe. I think he's got the work ethic and people like him, and so they're willing to kind of give him chances. And, you know, he's a very capable goalkeeper, I think.
Yeah, I like that. Whether he goes college or the OHL route, he's a good goalie, not great. Maybe doesn't get drafted, but a team, you know, picks him up, or he's like a late round draft pick and sort of languishes around for a while. That's a good one. Anybody else we really need to touch on? Fulton? Have we talked about Fulton at all?
He definitely plays through Eden Hall.
Yeah. I could see Fulton being a captain. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think he sticks around. He at least goes where he follows Charlie, is kind of what I'm thinking. Tries to at least, because they're so tight as buddies, as we saw in D3. But I think he gets to the point where he just realizes this is over and moves on.
Yeah. He's not sure he even wants to play hockey his entire life. So,
yeah.
I think Goldberg, you know, has a run on the varsity and that's done after high school.
I can see Goldberg even like stopping the play, like, because Julie's the number one, clearly.
Right.
And Goldberg maybe was like, hey, I don't want to be defense or something. I don't know.
We'll he doesn't want to have to shoot again.
Yeah. He could, yeah, he could definitely like flame out his senior year and just be like, all right, I'm done.
Like, and he definitely goes to like state college. You know, he's going to Minnesota or something like that.
I like that.
I think Kenny Wu definitely goes back to the Olympic route, you know, going back to figure skating. Who knows? Maybe we'll see him next month.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, yeah.
You can still be like in your 20s and be a world class figure skater. So,
yeah. I mean, we know he's still got the skills. He showed it in Game Changers. So he was still doing some figure skating, at least on the side. We have Dwayne. I think Dwayne could just be done. He could play his Eden Hall career and then just be done. Nothing there. I think we've covered everybody from D3 that went to Eden Hall. But let me get one more check through here.
We talked about D Germain.
Oh, good. Him. Good point.
He follows Connie, but he doesn't play hockey. Yeah, he's not good enough. Actually, he probably can't get into Brown, so he goes to a smaller community college in Rhode Island or something. Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
And maybe he plays for that. Like, maybe he's playing in like some small capacity, even if it's just like a Sunday pickup league.
That's really good. Yeah. So he's still, you know, involved, but he's not trying to make a career. He's not playing college. He's not none of that stuff. I think we have covered it as I look through here. Yeah. So good question. Great answer from all of us. And that was a true team effort. Mike, anything you want to plug? Any Twitters, Facebooks, anything like that you want to get out there to the Quackalites?
No. I do enjoy the Discord. That's been a lot of fun communicating with everybody on there. Nothing in particular that I want to plug.
Perfect. I love the Discord plug. I'll put a link in the show notes. I always do, but I'll put another link in the show notes for the Discord. It has been a lot of fun. Tommy, you have something?
Two last questions for our Cats fan here. First is which sports movie do we need to be talking about more?
Oh yes, I thought more about that. Remember the Titans. My dad actually attended that high school. He was a sophomore the year the movie was based on. He wasn't on the football team though, but he had both of the coaches as like his gym teachers, and he knew a few of the guys just from going to school there.
Any real life stories that he's told you about that you'd be willing to share?
Only thing he's really said is that, like, you know, most kids, they love gym class growing up. That was like their favorite time. He said everybody there hated and despised gym class because it was basically like boot camp. That's how they ran things. It was like it was in the movies, just all the physical nature. And he's like, this is supposed to be an easy A and you've got me running, you know, for miles at a time in high school.
I like that. You're like, in a way, like some sort of sports movie Forrest Gump, like, you know, guys from the Kentucky team, you know, your dad went to the high school.
Yeah.
I don't know do you know anybody from We Are Marshall or anybody like that? Any other connections we need to know about?
No, I don't know anybody from We Are Marshall. No.
Okay.
Those are probably the two that I know anyone with any kind of connections. It's just kind of funny we brought those up.
That was impressive. Tommy, your second question for Cats fan here.
Would you rather in a year, this is not what you think it's gonna be, Mike.
Oh, okay.
We can get into that later. Would you rather Kentucky win a national title in basketball or football next year?
Honestly, football. As much as UK is a or Kentucky is a basketball mad state, I really think if they were to win in football, everybody would love that so much more.
Yeah, that would be insane.
I was actually at the Citrus Bowl just on Sunday. My brother and I drove from Ohio, picked him up in Kentucky, drove all the way down to Orlando, went to the game, turned around, drove straight back. So I spent like 30 hours in a car over the course of like 2 days.
And you were listening to your favorite Mighty Ducks base podcast the whole
time. We did listen to one, and my brother, he liked it, but at first he was like, what are we listening to? And I told him, and he kind of gave me a look, but he enjoyed it.
It's good. Well, awesome. Hopefully he listens to this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll send it to him. I'll send him the link.
Perfect. Perfect. I do. Let's just ask the Applebee's question. $25,000 in cash right now, or free Applebee's for life with a party once a month. Free Applebee's for you and your family, plus one non-family member guest. That's dine-in only, I think, is Tommy's rule. Plus a party once a month at Applebee's that is entirely paid for. Which one are you taking?
That's tough. I don't know. I think I answered this sort of on the Discord one time, and I think I gave some sort of answer that I would take the money and then invest it and pray to God I got some sort of return like we got last year, the last couple of years, and then I could buy my own Applebee's and basically get the second for free with recurring, money returns.
I like that.
From owning the restaurant.
Best of all, and really, you're thinking about your children who will get to enjoy Applebee's for life.
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course.
You're making those memories.
It's about them. It's not about me.
Yeah. Man, no, I think that's the best answer we've gotten. Is you take the money now so you can buy an Applebee's later.
Yeah. You get the Applebee's and the, well, I guess it's a delayed, gratification, but you get the Applebee's.
That's what I said, like, fingers crossed, I get 30-40% returns, and in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You can totally bank on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Or you can just put it in crypto. I hear Kin Token's gonna blow soon. So. We'll go from
there. What is that up to these days?
Last time we were at like $40 because at like 100 and something return would have been $100. So, he's still down there. Credit to Kevin for blowing $300. But that is it for us. Mike, any questions for us? Anything we haven't answered? Anything we should talk about before we wrap it up here?
No, I think we covered it all. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Thanks for everybody who voted for me. Really appreciate it. It's been a blast.
Awesome. Awesome. For us, thequarkdeck.com. Go there. Contact us at QuarkDeckPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuarkDeckPod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Give us your answer to the Belafonte question. Is he an import or is he a homegrown player? And is he an import in either sense or a homegrown player? And join that Discord. And thanks to all our producers. We love you guys. Keep somebody re-upped. I think JD re-upped. His card must have declined or something. And he went back and he added it again. We appreciate you, JD, and all the producers. Thank you. As we go into 2022, I'm excited. It should be a big year. We got a season 2 of Game Changers. We should have some guests coming up. So we're excited for that. And remember, Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. Got to be the man is up. Hard to crack a time. The quick dick.